morning, bro, because we're about to put it down on Peppermint Patty Mahomes and Candy Reid and the Cheating Chiefs of Kansas City. They hold all night if you want. We're gonna crush you. We're gonna steamroll you. Come to Levi's. It's time. It's time we turn the page and turn the corner. I'm tired of losing to the Chiefs. We were getting rolled back when they had Derek Thomas. It's our time now. And we turned the page in Seattle. I'd never seen Shanahan run a fullback lead draw like that before. I fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe it.
Great call,
All
man.
I got to say is, man, okay, guys.
Keep cooking, Nick. No, I let him keep cooking. All right, well, you got more, Nick?
I feel like he's drinking a tall can with a brown bag over it.
Hey, that's okay, though. Yeah, let's go. You got to do what you do, man. It's you good. Come from a different club.
Peppermint Patty, I haven't heard that one, man.
You come from KD Reed.
Yeah.
I mean, let Nick from Berkeley cook,
man. That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff.
What's the question?
His question? I don't know. You cut him off. I don't know what his question is.
Like, Kevin Harlan?
Yeah. Well, I don't work with Kevin, but I have worked with him in NFL Europe games when he was first starting out. I mean, he's a Kansas City guy. Like, he does the national radio, and obviously he works with Trent Green now. But Kevin's great. I mean, he's got a lot of energy. Like, but that guy could do every sport, though. Kevin's good in every sport.
No, Kevin's legit. Basketball, football. I don't know. Has he ever done baseball? I don't think he's ever done baseball.
I don't
know if he could do baseball.
I don't know.
It's too slow for him.
Let me throw something at both of you guys. You know, yesterday it sounds like Jamal Adams is getting released, traded, moved on from. I don't even know what position he is at this point in his career.
Tennessee released him. He asked for the release. He wasn't playing. But, I mean, Jamal Adams in 2018 was just a wrecker. But, you know, he doesn't cover well. It's been an issue. Tight ends, you get a matchup on tight ends in Seattle. Like, he got scorched. They blew them all out. Like, I don't know. He doesn't look like he is athletic enough to really play safe. He's a box safety. Down in the 8 in the box, safety down there. He's almost like a linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners could use a linebacker. That's why I'm asking. Is there a spot for him on this team?
They missed Dre Greenlaw so bad.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. They missed the speed.
That's what I worry about in this game. Devondre Campbell, you want to talk about the first day of trade of Kev. We see Mustafa.
Oh, my goodness.
Isaac Rendell pops a hamstring. Yeah. But what I noticed right away, I was like, damn, number 59, man. This could be a problem.
Devondre is he's 9 years in this league. He's a smart player. He's had a lot of tackles in Green Bay. But you just don't see the speed and the cover ability that you got to have. Fred needs his partner.
Yeah, no, and Andy Reid attacks deficiencies. Yes. So I think about the Super Bowl where Mahomes goes 24-26 between the numbers, right in the middle of the field. And we saw the Super Bowl when Drake Greenlaw got out. Oren Burks comes in. He didn't even know where to line up, Baldy. It was so many plays. Fred Warner's like, get your ass over here. Yeah. Get over here, now.
It's still the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, coming onto the field with excitement, all right, defense takes the field, and Dre goes down.
It's
like, I've never seen anything like it.
It was eerie.
I know that they have camera angles on everything, but the camera angle that I saw when I got back to the hotel room, I go, how was the camera looking right at him at that moment? It was unreal.
Right, they was right on him, taking the field.
Bonte and I were saying, Dre's down. Oh, no. You could feel the energy come out of the
because
the
he's such an energy setter.
Yeah.
You need your energizer bunnies out there that just set the tone every day. And I know Fred was torn up, man. He was torn up. When he found out the result.
Yep.
He didn't know because he comes off. And he's like, everybody was like, Dre's the guy, man. Like him, like I remember Fred telling me, like, last year, the first game was at Pittsburgh. And Fred was telling me, like, this is our fifth year together starting.
Wow.
Like, they were the best inside tandem linebackers in football, bar none.
He would set a tone. We saw him at training camp 2 years ago, and I'm like,
he was almost too violent, right?
Check this out. So we were on the sideline at training camp.
Yeah.
They're in t-shirts and jerseys.
He's
shorts.
He's not that big at all. I mean, his arms are. I'm talking about height wise. Yes.
So I'm like, hey, Dre, because the hat t-shirt game, they won Thursday Night Football Seattle. And Dre Greenlaw, yeah, the hat t-shirt game. So like, Dre Greenlaw's hitting his helmet like this. He's like, by himself, getting out. I'm like, this guy's a maniac, right? So I go, Dre, you got to give us this. He goes, nah, man, the pads are not on. He goes in the defense. Chris McCaffrey gets a handoff, and he blows him up. And I'm like, wait, I thought there was no pads on. And he can't turn it off.
I know.
And that tone setter, his start to the Super Bowl, he was on fire, Baldy.
What did he play? Eight plays or something?
Baldy, some say that I'm the Dre Greenlaw to his Fred Warner on this show.
No, I like that.
Yeah,
that's a huge compliment.
I don't know who says that.
You're the high-paid guy, high profile.
Yeah, I'm doing the middle.
Fly under the radar.
I'm doing the middle of the huddle, breaking this down, getting this ready for the game. We got to run through a wall,
Baldy. I mean, Fred and Dre, man. that's like that's. Just, I don't know when Dre's scheduled to come back. I don't know what he's going to.
Maybe after the bye week.
Rumors,
maybe
yeah.
after the bye week.
Some
maybe.
Say he looks great. Some say he doesn't. I've heard he was going to do what Aaron Rodgers did in terms of the rehab.
Yeah,
it's so confusing. All these Twitter doctors. I can't keep up with it.
I know.
Well, did he got bilateral Achilles tendonitis with Chris McCaffrey?
Both Achilles.
And I'm just like, oh God, how the hell is he going to cut? I just said this. Once he didn't play the Jets game, I heard it was Achilles. I said, man, if they get anything from McCaffrey this year, it's a bonus.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be like. Like, I don't know when it goes away, when he feels good, when he can explode again, when he can just, take his 200-pound body into these linebackers. I don't know.
Baldy, if I said to you, take all the quarterbacks away, he's like, what is he? The best, second best, third best non-quarterback in the league? Like, honest to gosh.
Yeah.
T.J. Watt, we were referencing, going crazy.
Yeah, because all the different ways you can use him. Yeah. You could get 20 touches, 25 touches in any game where he could just change the game on any given play. You think about like that play against Pittsburgh last year, start the third quarter. Like, I mean, it's a house call. Yeah. Gets a block from Ayuk. He can take that from anywhere.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's go out to Filmo Mike. Filmo Mike out there in the streets. What's up, Filmo?
Filmo's a legend.
Oh, what's up, man?
What's going on, Filmo? What you got for Baldy, man?
Oh, man, I had to tap in. Hey, Baldy, I know you do your breakdowns, right? And you try to highlight the great players. You're going to have to start doing the trash players, man. Like, what are you doing over there? Get off your ass, 52. I got to hear some Baldy breakdowns where you getting those people lining a pumpkin.
Listen.
So, but anyway.
Okay. I did that to a player last year. He plays for the Raiders. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, it was bothering me so much, I had to do it. So I texted Max Crosby. I showed him this picture. I'm like, is anybody saying anything to this guy? I was on this guy so hard. I got a call from a Raider executive on a way home from NFL Films at 11 o'clock at night. I had no idea who this was. Like, he was like, hey, man, could you go a little easier on this guy? Like, I'm like, no, I can't. He goes, he's really a good kid. I don't care how good a kid he is. Like, you can't play. Like, this is not NFL football. So, like, I could do that to certain guys in this league if I wanted to just trash them.
Well, you have a way of doing it, because I watched a breakdown on King Henry and Ricard, the fullback, and you're like, there's 500 pounds in the backfield right now. Look at these guys. They don't want to tackle them. And it's the Bengals. Who else was it? It was the Bengals, the Commanders, the Cowboys. You're like, nobody wants to tackle these guys. So, in a way, if I'm watching that and I'm on the Cowboys or Bengals, like, Baldy just called us out.
Yeah.
And we're out here making business decisions.
Yeah. Well, I've only had two players really came. I have a couple players that come after me. I'm not going to mention their name right now. When I make them look bad, and one guy's a legit player, but I was like, look, I've said 10 good things about you, and I said this about you. Like, I can't just like blow you up and gaslight you if you didn't do something well. So it does happen, but not too often.
You did one on Javon Kinlaw a while back.
I thought you were actually gentle.
Yeah. I thought you were gentle.
It was horrible Monday night.
Monday night. We get to Monday night. Jets versus the Bills.
Belichick was killing them on the Medicast.
Javon Kinlaw, there's so many different elements to the poor guy. And he's got a great backstory, and he seems to be a good dude.
Yeah, I know.
But he's not good.
You know what it is? He's like, he's this 315-pound body that he plays like he's 250. Like, he just gets lifted. He cannot anchor. And it's weird because, like, I remember playing against some guys that could be 290 at nose tackle, and you'd hit them, it's like hitting an anvil. Like, you couldn't budge them. And then you'd have some guys that would be 330, and you just flipped them right out. Like, there were nothing. Like, certain guys' bodies just don't look like they play so much lighter than they are.
Hey.
And Kinlaw just got blown out last week, like he did in San Francisco. Like, there was like that NFC Championship game against the Eagles.
Oh,
like,
man.
I did this breakdown. And I'm like, you can't play. And I remember Eric Armstead coming at me, like saying, like trying to defend Javon. Like, I understand that he's a teammate, but you can't defend. Like, I don't know what you're watching and how many games you got to watch when you watch him play, going, like, he can't do what you want him to do.
That film may have been the worst film for a defensive tackle ever.
He was thrown around like a toddler.
Our buddy Ian Williams, who used to play for the 49ers, he goes, this is the worst defensive line play I've ever seen in my life. And then Belichick on the manicast, I like to watch Belichick in the first half. I love Buck and Aikman.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, Belichick's out here spitting wisdom. And he's like, Javon Kelo, look at him. He's 6 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, 54. He kept saying 54.
Yeah. And then he finally said, Kelo. I'm like, damn, man.
You can't play like this. He kept saying it.
No. So they got Leckie Fotu in there now, and he was ending it. They went right down the field. Ray Davis, like, nobody knew what he could do. Like, he goes for 100. You know, it was bad.
Shout out to Ray Davis, by the way.
Exactly.
San Francisco's own.
Yeah.
Obviously, his father played at Galileo High School right up the street.
Yeah.
Was an all-city player. By the way, Film on Mike said he wanted to call. He wants to call back. He said he didn't get to ask what he wanted to ask.
Yeah.
So we can call back. We'll get Oreo Cookie on the other side.
Okay.
I know we got a break here. We got Baldy live in studio. The fans are going to be here in about an hour and a half on a Friday. Jack's breakfast is coming. My stomach is growling left and right. I'm trying to stuff coffee.
I already got my workout in this morning. I'm ready for the protein. Let's do this.
There you go.
What time did you get up to do it, Joe?
This morning was 3:30.
You're like on Gruden's time.
Well, look, dude, I got the baby, so yeah. I got to, like a ninja. I got to get out of my own house without waking him up.
Right.
And if I wake him up, I got to feed him with a bottle, and that cuts into my workout time.
I got you.
I've just got my daughter jumping into bed at 1 in the morning.
All I do is weigh myself this morning just to see if everything's okay. 7 weeks in, that's all.
Today was a push day for me.
I've already seen the gym. I already got it. When I get back, I'm going to hit mine.
No, you're top of the mark, man. Yeah. Go see Baldy, man. Hey, we're going to do a lot more with Baldy. We're break down Brady. We got Niners and Chiefs, Andy Reid, all that stuff. 888-957-9570. You can ask Baldy anything. Go ahead and call us as we get ready for Chiefs and Niners on Sunday. That's what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service baking with no compromises.
All right, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo. And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
Yeah, we got Baldy grabbing some coffee. He's got to find some food. Baldy just scavengered a piece of pie out here. He's hungry. He's like a fox in the jungle or something, man. He's walking through the park through the wilderness.
I could have eaten like that whole cheesecake in there, man.
You and Andy, left. Right?
Yeah.
Andy, save some for Andy Reid on Sunday, man. Or Candy Reid, as Nick and Berkeley Candy would say. Reed. Oh, man. By the way, Contras, Baldy, I know you don't pay for them, but the most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay, starring, how about this concert? Too Short. You get some Jaw Rule. You get some Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Is he still around?
He's still around. He's still doing concerts.
All right.
Bone Thugs and DJ Quick. Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. Jaw's still going. He's out of his prime.
It. My buddy just sent me a clip from Eminem. He played in Austin yesterday.
Oh, did he? Really?
Yeah. Eminem dropped me in a song, right? Legacy. So back in like 2013. So like I'm in an Eminem song. I told my buddy, I'm like, look, when you see Eminem backstage, just ask him what the whole alliteration of the bunch of Brian Baldinger was all about. Eminem is still rolling right now.
I mean, you got street cred. That's my dream.
Jack's dream.
We want to be in either. We're in a music video. Our boy Dave Canales, Heat. We're in his music video at Levi Stadium. Everyone's like, "Oh man, this is Bonte and Shasky." Our street cred went up through the roof.
Of course.
My street cred was already high.
Yeah. Mine wasn't as high until Eminem dropped.
I mean, that's the thing. You get rappers saying "What's up to you?" and saying "What
Ja
you doing this?"
Man, like that's like early 2000s.
That's early 2000s.
Yeah.
Old school.
Where is Ja?
Yeah. Old school. And then you got Too Short, who's been doing it since the 80s.
Okay.
I mean, he's been back since the 80s, Baldy.
Right.
So you got a nice little concert there.
I jumped in Joe's car this morning, man. He had Led Zeppelin pumping.
Oh, yeah, Led Zeppelin pumping?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
You got to know your audience.
Yeah, you got to know your audience. Yeah, no doubt.
You got to get the lead out.
Yeah, I got the hole in my game, man. I'm kind of like Andy Reid, man. It's sports music. Huh? What's that?
Hey, before we go, one of my good friends is driving around in the car right now. It's his birthday today.
Okay.
Jim Moylan. He thinks he's a great former athlete. So, Baldy, can you wish him a happy birthday?
Happy birthday, Jim. I mean, like another year around the sun. Go out and make sure you enjoy it because we're not guaranteed old age. Just go enjoy this one today, Jim.
You know what, Jim? How shameful of you to beg for a birthday shout-out.
No, I wanted Jim. To do it for him, for his family.
Jim, how dare you? Coach these kids, damn it.
He's going to be running the St. Cecilia's Festival tonight, this weekend.
What is that festival about?
Oh, it's for the kids. But
okay.
Trust me, there'll be some fun being had. He's running the batting cages for all all the kids. You win prizes and whatnot. Right, it's a big fundraiser for the church and for the community. Baldy, if you want to go, I'll take it. You know, I know some people.
I'd like to actually go into a batting cage now because, like, I'm watching this. I'm a big baseball October guy, right? So I got to watch as much as I can. But, like, every pitcher's throwing 100, right? Like, everybody's throwing 100. Like, I don't even know how you get your bat on these things.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just the 100. It's the timing. So when they're throwing you breaking balls and you're sitting on a fastball, there's so much that goes into it. A lot of the professionals.
But your bat speed, like, that's get on a whole that thing. Thing. Right. I mean, like, how do you increase bat speed?
Well, they're turning it around. Judge Clase yesterday over Cleveland, was it 99 on a black, and Judge went the other way. And you hear the announcers, I think it was Ron Darling and Jeff Francoeur. It's like, you have to go the other way because it's impossible to pull that.
Right.
It's impossible to pull that pitch.
You can't get around.
Well, I would say this. The batting cages now, these kids hit so much heat at such a young age. So anything fast and straight, a lot of these guys are on it. I mean, it's when you introduce breaking balls and change-ups, and now you're off balance. Because it's all about squaring it up. It's just like squaring up a guy in the hole, You got to hit him square on.
This kid, was it Joe Witt in Kansas City?
Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Witt Jr.
He's a beast.
Unbelievable player, man.
Second-generation player. You could tell he grew up playing the game.
No doubt. He's unbelievable. Gunnar Henderson. All these dudes. Francisco Lindor.
Yeah.
Baseball's in a good place right now, but to your point, everybody's throwing 100. Give me a lot more Greg Maddox's.
No doubt.
Just
give me
be an
84
artist.
On the corner.
Right.
You know, it's doing nothing but whiffing.
Paint a picture for me out there. Yeah. You know, everybody's just throwing gas.
If you were a pitcher, Baldy, who would you be? Would you be more Randy Johnson? Would you be more Greg Maddox? Like, are you more precision or
Tom
Candiotti?
You throwing knuckleballs up there?
Be?
You throwing knuckleballs up there, Phil Niekro?
No, I'm not Phil. I'm like, I don't want that to happen. Who was the? I'm trying to think of the Yankee pitcher like in '78. Like there was like 160 pounds, but like I could just see
Ron Guidry.
Ron Guidry.
Ooh.
Like Guidry. Guidry was like Jim Palmer, like was probably my favorite pitcher of all time. You know, like he was fantastic. But you know, Tom Seaver, Jim Palmer, big guys that could really pitch.
Baldy, I will make this promise to you because I know this weekend I'm very busy. I would do it this weekend, but I can't. There's a place on Geary. My buddy runs it. Mike Accardi, his entire family, San Francisco Baseball Academy. They've got batting cages. Yeah. We will go. We'll do the full thing. I'll take you to lunch. We'll do it all. I want you to take some hacks. We'll even bring Bonte. Bonte, you'll join us, right?
Maybe. You're just my buddy,
so
too.
So the 49ers need to win this week.
Yes.
They need to get a home playoff game in January.
Will you be here?
I'll come back for the home playoff game. We'll do that.
SF Baseball Academy.
I'm taking you out
there. They're good guys, man. They're really good guys up there at the SF Baseball Academy. For a long time, that was a movie theater.
Yeah.
Where they had the SF Bay Academy.
They hollowed it out.
And then right there on Gary, and I think it's like up the street from Spruce.
Sounds like a great transition from movie theaters.
No, it's before 4th. It's like right between like Spruce,
and right past
Masonic or whatnot, but it was a former movie theater, and it turned into the SF Baseball Academy. My boy Lucas, I think it's Lucas Hasberg, if I'm not mistaken. He's a firefighter now out in San Rafael, but he played baseball with Chris Bryant down in San Diego, and he was one of the guys who helped launch that SF Baseball Academy. He worked there, actually. He worked there when it first opened, so it's a good spot, and we need more spots like that in the city.
Yeah.
City's been dying out here. We need more spots.
Baldy,
so we need you to take hacks.
That this morning.
I want to see you take a hack, Baldy.
I would love to.
Because I know you play baseball.
I don't want to pull an oblique muscle or anything.
No, you're
trying to get around on it.
You can't pull fat, so that's why I'm good to go.
I mean, what were you? Were you a four-hitter, five-hitter? You're playing baseball.
I was lower in the lineup.
You're like me.
I remember one time, I love baseball, right? I grew up playing baseball. So I try out for this traveling team when I'm in like ninth grade, summer of like ninth grade or something, right? So I get cut, right? I get cut from the B team, right? So you know, my mother's like watching me like at night, or we're watching TV, and I'm squinting to see the TV in like in ninth grade. And she goes, I think we got to go get your eyes checked. Like, you're squinting too much.
Uh-oh.
So I go to get my eyes checked. Sure enough, like, I have astigmatism in one eye, and they fit me for contacts, right? The tryout for the A team is the next week. Fucking my eyes were bad. So, like, I got my eyes fixed. And that was it, man. Like, I made the A team. Like, I was getting on the ball. I've been wearing contacts ever since.
Hey, Baldy,
we're going to get back to the lines.
You got to understand about this show. Yeah.
The Morning Roast.
Yeah.
Every week, somebody just lets it fly.
Just lets it fly.
People feel way too,
man.
The since it's taped. Like, you know, it's just everybody feels comfortable, so it's all good. Let's get to the lines here, man. We got Oreo. We got
Xavier McDaniel from the Seattle Supersonics.
Yes, Xavier McDaniel. Oh, dude, Spinotti, when you get that drop, let us know. We'll play it for you.
He had to be held back by multiple teammates.
I mean, he's got some stories. He's got some stories with Sean Kemp, right? Right before Sean Kemp.
Right before Kemp.
You know what Sean Kemp's nickname is, right?
No.
Well, it was the Rain Man, but also Spawn, because he had like 1,000
jokes. He had quite a few.
Well, he lost, true story, when the NBA went through the lockout, he's played with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mike Fratello was the coach. And Mike Fratello goes, Sean Kemp comes back, and he's like, gained like 50 pounds. And Mark Patel said to Sean, what happened? And Sean Kemp just goes, Coach, I think we're coming back, man. He's eating burgers and fries.
Yeah. I remember one year,
I'm going to break somebody's jaw.
Oh, that's what he said right there. Give it one more time. I'm going to break somebody's
He's talking about Derek McKee. If you can find it, he's talking about Derek McKee. We'll play the whole one because we're doing his justice there. Let's go back to the lines real quick. We'll get the film on Mike. He wants to ask this question. We got Oreo Cookie and then we got Verducci. Okay, we got to wait for the dump. All right, anyway, we got to wait for the dump. So he's got to go down the drain. Anyway, here, so Xavier McDaniel is just talking. And, like, he's got legendary fights with Charles Oakley.
Yep.
Like, Pat Riley says the first day of training camp in New York Knicks are in South Carolina. And Anthony Mason and Xavier McDaniel. You got X-Men. Anthony Mason and Oak on
the team. That's like when, like, you know, the Knicks would be playing, like, they'd score 84 points and win. Like, it was just a brawl.
Yeah.
Like, the sport was just different. Anthony Mason was a beast.
And Roddy's like, just let him fight. Who cares? Let him fight.
There's a lot of that, man.
You would never get that in today's NBA anymore.
Gosh. I remember, like, Knicks Pacers, 94, Pat Riley. Like,
Rick Smith, it was the Duncan Dutchman.
The Davis brothers.
We don't make nicknames like that anymore, Why is that?
I try to give guys nicknames, man. You know, I gave, you know, Max Crosby the Condor. I give guys nicknames.
I love that, the Condor.
Buda Baker's the Cobra. Like, I give guys nicknames.
I love it. It kind of sticks a little bit.
No,
but I think that was fun.
Yes, we
discuss that all the time. Like, the nicknames is just, like, I love Flash, Dwayne Wade, but everybody says D-Wade.
Yeah.
Everybody just goes, like, their first name, last name, or dash this and that. We've lost creativity when it comes to nicknames.
Yeah, and I like the nicknames, man. I like, they have this guy playing for the Tennessee Titans now, Devondre Sweat. Like, he's T-Pain. He just brings the pain, man.
I love that.
So everybody in Tennessee is like, go, hey, Baldy's calling you T-Pain. He goes, my name is Meatloaf. I'm like, I like Meatloaf, but Meatloaf.
My name is Meatloaf.
He brings the pain. He's 360 pounds.
Wow.
He has high energy. He played 80% of the snaps last week.
Wow.
T-Pain brings the pain.
I love that. See, that's why we... We honestly, we always do it to you. People say, Bonte, why do you do it? And Shasky's with me here. We call you the modern day. Look, nobody's going to beat John Madden. But what John Madden brought to the game, he brought nicknames.
Yep.
He brought the other stuff. Like, he's talking about quarter-inch cleats and grass fields. That's what you do, Baldy. Before the show, you're talking about mowing your lawn, and now you like to get your hands in the dirt. Yeah. That's Maddenisms right there.
Like, John was just – he didn't – try. It just came out of John. This is who he was. You know, it was just natural for him to look at the steam coming off Nate Newton's head, you know, in cold weather.
And he's circling it.
Like, what else? You really want to circle what cover two looks like. Some steam coming off the guy's head.
He's talking about putting hot links on his head or something.
We're at the cabin, and it's the middle of August, and, you know, it's a beautiful day out, and I'm watching the baby. My wife is like, all right, why are we watching football? I go, I want to see Baldy. You're about to come on halftime. Yeah. You're doing the New York Giants. Because I remember because Derek Daniel Jones looked terrible, okay? Yeah. And she goes, he loves football. I go, yeah. And it makes me want to love it. She's like, it comes through the television. Yeah. It permeates.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's no, but John was he was just so amazing. Like, everybody's got Madden stories. But that guy, like, to this day, I remember one time I was watching John do a game, and they had, like, it was scripted, you know, at the bottom, you know, he didn't even finish his sentences, but you knew what he was talking about. Like, he was just like, he's running fast, and then he just started running. And boom. Like, the other day, I'm watching this guy, like, Sunday. So Greg Newsom's in man coverage on Devontae Smith, right? And, like, it's man coverage, so they're running a man beater in the middle of the field. And Devontae, you know, catches it, and he goes for 50. And I'm like, what happened to Newsom on the play? And he just stopped when the pick came. I'm like, how does a guy just stop in the middle of the field? Like that's this man. Like, if Devontae walks in the end zone. I mean, I felt like Madden would just, like, take this and just run with it forever.
Do you think John Madden would have loved Deebo Samuel?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Why is that? Why, like, expand on that.
His ability just to gain speed, like, he would probably look at his legs, like, those are the legs of a running back. Look at, like, how he's built. Like, he's building, but he catches the ball like a receiver. Like, he would just have fun with the hybrid that he is.
Yep.
You know, and he would have probably some nickname beyond Deebo.
Yeah,
like he's not just Deebo. He's like Speedo.
You know? Right. Who knows? Who knows in his head, man? Who knows?
Someone will just let him run.
Well, this is why you're a revelation, though, because we're just talking about this. There's all these talk shows, and you see the internet, and they always try to find a negativity in the game.
Yes.
You find the purity in the game, and I still find joy in the game. I still, when I watch football and I watch basketball, I think of myself as an 8-year old kid when I first fell in love with the game, or 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you still bring that enthusiasm, and it's a lost art. It's almost like it's frowned upon. You got to find the negativity or something.
So, like, you know, my Mondays, like, I start watching these games, and I try to watch all 16 games, and I try to treat all 32 teams the same. But I'm in there in a film room by myself. I'm not sitting there like Chris Long comes up every once in a while on a Tuesday, or Mike Lombardi. They might come up for a little bit. But, like, I'm basically, and if I see like a Tavondre Sweat, like, I'm, or like the other week, like Fred Warner's, like, I was saying, like, Fred, all he cares about is the ball. Like, all he wants is the ball. And, like, and you're like, there's Fred on the ball. There's Fred punching the ball out. And I'm like, and I'm just sitting there talking about it to myself, entertaining myself. Like, Fred, honestly, he loves his little baby. He loves his wife. But he loves the ball as much as ours. Like, I'm just saying that to myself, going, I got to do this.
So it's interesting you bring up the film because, like, and we've talked about this before, but one thing that I've come to grips with is that when I see these isolated clips hovering around the internet, not ones that you're doing, because you do it in a totally different fashion, just people taking a clip. For example, Brock throws a 50-50 ball up to Deebo, and, oh, see, I mean, this ball should never be thrown. And this idea, and I'm saying to myself, like, this is why I like going to games, because when you go to games, you see the chaos on the sideline, you see the substitution patterns coming in and out, you see the context of the 3 or 4 plays leading up to it, or what the defense did plays before. I find it very difficult when the internet is breaking down isolated plays with zero context and feel,
down
and
distance
it
situation,
drives me nuts.
Who you're playing,
and we make these sweeping observations on
so
X
bad.
Or whatever regarding a specific play. This guy is good because of this, or this guy's bad because of this. And I just say to myself, what does a Brian Baldinger think when he's floating through the internet and you see other people doing? Now, I'm not saying you're crushing him. I'm just saying, like,
I just, like, honestly, I just keep scrolling. I'll give you an example, Joe.
It drives me crazy, Baldy.
So last week, Indianapolis is in a dogfight with Tennessee. Tennessee, like, forget about the 1-5 record. Like, they're improving. They can run the ball. Tony Pollard's having a great season. They got a good defensive front. Like, the quarterback, if he was playing better, just, like, they would be 500. Callahan's doing a good job there. So, you know, Flacco's quarterback in Indianapolis.
I think Flacco should still be quarterback.
So here's the thing. Like, I'm not against Anthony Richardson. I met the kid. Like, I'm all for young quarterbacks exploding and getting good. He's had trouble with injuries. So Flacco makes this play. It's 3rd and 9. They're down 17-13. Fourth quarter. And Tennessee comes after Flacco with an all-out play.
Yeah.
It's literally, and he throws the jump ball to Pittman.
To Pittman.
Now, he's also, like, he's waiting for Pittman to kind of get to the middle of the field. And he's being covered by Snead, L.J. Snead. So he's got a great corner. He's all over him. And Flacco is just buying time, backing up. And he does one of these floaters. And so it's an unbelievable play because he's got two free hitters coming at him. And he's just buying time, backing up, and just calmly floats it. And Pittman goes and gets it against Snead. They win the game. So I'm like, and he made a couple of plays like that. He hit Josh Downs for a touchdown, made the right read for a great throw. So he made some of these plays. And then after they got the lead on 3rd and 9 later on to keep the ball from Tennessee, he made another great play. So I'm like, so I put these plays together, and I'm like, look, I'm just asking, should Flacco stay at quarterback? Because they're winning games and scoring points. So they crush me in Indianapolis. Like, you got to play IAR. It's all, like, and they say things like, The only thing that matters this year is developing AR.
No, it doesn't.
I'm like, well, wait a second. What about the other 52 guys?
Right.
What about the fan base?
Quentin Nelson.
About Quentin Nelson? Like, what about these guys that actually want to win right now?
Right.
And they and Flacco's giving them that chance. And, like, it's not a knock on Anthony Richardson. But, like, Flacco, he's making these plays. He's thrown 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. Like, he's giving them a chance every week right now. Like, I understand the conundrum. Anthony Richardson, he's the 4th pick. You want him to be C.J. Stroud. He's not C.J. Stroud. Like, you can't do that to Zaire Franklin.
No.
He's trying to win these games.
DeForest Buckner, who came for San Francisco, is trying to get back into the playoffs and win games. Spadoni, it was funny, Spadoni over here, he brought it up. Somebody was saying, hey, there could be a quarterback controversy if Richardson doesn't come out and win. And I agree with it. I said, because I don't like Anthony Richardson. I would just come out flat out saying, I didn't like him at Florida.
Right.
I didn't get what the hype was about.
Right.
He's inaccurate as hell.
Yeah.
I just think he's a running back in a playing quarterback.
Right.
And he's just reckless. We see him get hurt time and time again.
He's throwing some horrible, reckless throws.
Just reckless throws, reckless rent. And I watched the Jacksonville game with Flacco playing fantasy football, so I had to pick up Flacco. I'm like, damn, he's still spinning. All of a sudden, Downs is a hot commodity.
Right.
All of a sudden, Pittman has reemerged. They haven't even had Jonathan Taylor. Imagine Jonathan Taylor with Joe Flacco.
Goodson is looking like the best back in their backfield currently. Better than Sermon.
And who knows what happens in the AFC. There's a lot of teams that's going to beat each other up.
Yeah.
You got to win games. You got to try to win. Going back to Anthony Richardson, I think, is a massive mistake by Steichen.
Like, Cleveland let Flacco go. He went 5-1 as a starter, got him to the playoffs. Okay, they lost to Houston. But, like, Flacco got him there.
But you know why they got him? They let him go.
Of course.
Because they knew
Deshaun Watson.
Exactly.
Like, if you talk to Jimmy Haslam right now and just took the money off the table and just got him in a room, would you rather have Flacco? Or that? And he would take, like, Amari would still be there. They'd be winning games. Like, they. So the quarterback's killing him. He's not playing well. He's a shell of what he used to be. And so Flacco gave him a chance. He got the ball. You got to get the ball to your wide receivers.
I always say this, Baldy. I don't know if you agree with this. Shask and I always talk about it. There's like divisions, the Super Bowl division. But I feel like nowadays, more than ever, the NFL has become a year-to-year league.
Yep.
You can't look 3 years down the line. Week to week, hell. Week to week, that's
totally
even better.
It's a different universe Sunday to Sunday, right?
Right.
Yes.
So
every week is different.
So this whole developing quarterbacks to say, well, he's going to be our quarterback in the future.
You don't
the hell
know.
With that?
He Josh Rosen got killed.
Yeah.
3 years from now, it might be Zach Wilson, where you're like, how long do you have to watch?
But this, I think this goes back into Brock, because, like, I see a lot of Niner fans chipping away at what he isn't, and it's like, guys, he's really good. I don't know if he's as good as this guy or that guy. I know he wins a lot of games. He makes a lot of good plays. Yeah, he's got a couple throws he wants back. Show me a quarterback who doesn't.
But, like, I mean, Channing had said it last year, that they draft Trey Lance, they make 2 trades to go get Trey. And in Brock's rookie year, he's saying, hey, John, I think this is our starting quarterback. That soundbite's out there, right?
Well, listen to this from Bill Romanowski. Spadoni, if you could pull this.
Bill
Romanowski, this was awesome. Right before the Philly game, we said, Romo, because he's tight with Mike Shanahan. Yeah. Obviously, he won a couple of Super Bowls.
For the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Just got released in the last 24 hours. Mike is.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
He's going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Finalist.
Oh, that's good.
One of the finalists. They had a whole list of new finalists, and Mike was one of the names added.
So we'll get to soundbite here. Let's go to a call first, Spadoni. Let's go to film on Mike. And we'll get the soundbite from Romanowski on Purdy.
Right. It was fascinating to us. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's go, Philmo. He didn't get his question in.
Oh, yeah.
We cut him off. All right, Philmo, Mike, get in here.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Blood? What's up, buddy? Now, I just want to say 2 things. First of all, I love how you break down film.
Thank you.
I wanted you to talk about the Myles Garrett play.
Yep.
And also, you with some two true Frisconians. Right, so don't let them take you to like the cable cars. Let them take you to the real spot.
Okay,
you feel me? And then also, buddy,
none of that tourist stuff.
Do you have a weed strain? Do you have a weed strain, buddy? You need a weed strain, man.
What's a weed strain?
A weed strain. So a lot of weed gets smoked out here.
Yeah.
So you need your own strain. You need the Baldy. What would the Baldy be? Would it be
the Baldy pack?
Would it be sticky icky? What would it be, Philbo?
Sticky man.
Sticky man. It'd be sticky man. The
Baldy
strain.
There
you go, Philbo. We can't. I haven't even tried CBD oil.
What?
Like, I've never like that joint would come around like in the car when I was a kid. Like I'd just pass it on.
Yeah, no, that's smart. That's smart. He keeps some brain cells there. Look, man, Baldy, I know you can take it to the hood. You got street cred and all that, man. You take it down to the hood, Baldy. Yeah. Just pulsing up film.
I saw Chad Johnson the other day, right? Ocho Cinco.
He cracks me up.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude, man.
When he calls Belichick, yes, coach. Yes, coach. The way he
I'm pulling NFL films the other morning, and Chad's like, he's rolling in this big Cadillac Escalade. The thing is the biggest thing I've ever seen. So he I didn't know who was in the car. It was a dark window. So he rolls the window and I was like, hey, Baldy. So I go over and say, hey, Chad, how you doing? He's got a big old stogie in his mouth, right? And I go, man, you smoke cigars in the morning. He goes, I smoke three a day, Baldy. So he's like a little kid. Like, he's so fun, right? He goes, you know, I never drank. I never did anything. But cigars are my thing. That, and I play video games 24/7, yeah. Baldy. I'm like, I believe you, Chad.
I can relate to that.
I go, you having fun? He goes, oh, I'm having a, like, that guy's just having fun. He's having a good time on the show. Like, that guy is a good dude, man. I like him.
My guys at Bleacher Report, Sean, Jordan Bayshaw, Mike DeNevi. Ocho will just tweet out, where can I go play? I'm pulling up somebody's house to play
video
games.
He said 24/7.
He pulled up the Bleacher Report, which is right down the street, and played my buddies at video games at FIFA Soccer.
You can do that?
I guess you can do that.
Maybe you can play like virtual like that?
No, he pulled up to the studio.
Anybody can smoke at any time. Yeah. I don't know if you know this. Anybody can get this work.
I didn't know.
Here's Robo. What he heard about Purdy with Mike Shedhead. This is fascinating.
Okay.
We had a Broncos reunion and for the Super Bowl, and I talked to Mike Shanahan about him, and you know, and I said, Mike, what is it about him? He said, Bill, the first practice I laid eyes on him, I saw it in him.
Wow.
And I remember walking by him in the hallway. This is when he's a rookie. And he told me this. He said, Bill, I told him, Brock, be ready. I don't know when you're going to get your shot, but be ready.
Wow.
Because you've got something special.
Wow. This was a training camp, Romo?
Yeah. Mike told me that he shared that to Brock Purdy. He said, when you get your chance, it's coming. I don't know when it's going to come, but be ready. And sure enough, you know, he saw it because he saw the way he picked apart the starting defense when he was playing scout team.
Wow. Well, I mean, those are some great eyes, you know, they put on him. And Shanahan, like, he did this his whole life, you know. And look, he had McNabb in Washington. He knew Kirk Cousins was better. Like, you know, he knew the whole thing.
It's interesting, Mike. Why is Mike so polarizing? Like, well, I know that obviously he's had multiple flameouts in terms of, but when you're somewhere for a decade, it's going to happen. You're gonna crash and burn at some point. Most guys do, but I feel like the East Coast media hates Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he sometimes it's about the organization. The organization. It's turned.
Yep.
It's changed. But
Washington.
It was a dirty. It was just a bad organization. Yep. Just the way that they did things, the way business was done, the owner at the time. And, like, you're kind of as good as, you know, Pat Bowlen in Denver was,
yes.
Like, people, like, he's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. Like, he, you know, like, you could operate without somebody breathing down your neck about whatever, something. There's some organizations you go to, the last thing they think about is football.
Yep.
I mean, I could kind of check some boxes on some teams, you know, without killing some teams. But, like, sometimes you're only as good as the organization.
How much have you seen Mike Shanahan around the Niners when you are at Niner stuff?
I haven't seen him much.
Do you hear anything about Mike Shanahan's influence on the Niners?
No. Well, I don't hear anything.
You hear what he does, though.
Yeah.
When practice is over.
Yeah.
The film goes straight to Mike Shanahan. He wants to see it right away.
Yeah.
He wants to hear what's going
that.
On in the meetings.
I don't know.
I always think a set of eyes like that, I would encourage it.
Right. The season tickets I have, Mike Shanahan sits in the suite directly to my right, and I see him back there. I always kind of peek to see what he's doing. I'm interested. I'm like, what is he doing? And he's just sitting there by his wife. It's like two seats away from him. She's sitting right next to him. She sits a couple seats away.
He's in his zone.
Breaks happen. He goes to the bathroom, whatever he does, gets some water.
I mean, honestly, it would be a great little, not documentary because you don't need that much, but it would be great just to mic him up, and if he could just verbalize what he's seeing.
That would be awesome. That would be cool.
Great TV.
That would be awesome TV.
He would give you a layer and a perspective like Belichick's doing now that nobody else would understand or see.
I think Belichick is the most fascinating thing on television. I can't get enough of him.
Mm-hmm.
On McAfee, on NFL Films. Yep. When he has the four players all sitting there at the podium, and he's breaking down plays. And again, Chad Johnson, yes, coach.
Yes, coach. Because he's always calling out Chad. He's like the bad student. Chad, you got that?
It's like you're in the classroom.
Paying attention. Yeah. It's like Chad's not paying attention or whatnot. Mike, real quick, back on Mike. Just thinking about his Hall of Fame pedigree and whatnot, he's been through a lot. the Raiders situation with Al Davis. He got fired midway through the year. He's suing him for forever. But he also coached John Elway multiple times.
Yeah.
Steve Young had probably his best season of his career under Mike Shanahan.
He started with Spurrier at Florida.
I had no idea.
He goes all the way back to Spurrier at Florida. Shanahan. So, I mean, there was a connection to some great offensive minds before, you know, he became, you know, the guy that was. And you can't connect Mike to anything he did without Alex Gibbs. Mm. Alex Gibbs was the offensive line coach. He was the genius in the run game. He's the one that taught the whole zone stretch thing. And I was around Alex. Alex came to Indianapolis, and he was just wired up differently. Like, the way that he coached, I don't know if you could coach like that anymore. Like, I don't know if you could scream and yell and be that hard on players like he was. But to watch him coach this, you know, this zone offensive run game of his, like, it was something else to just watch.
I miss coaching like that. You were talking about this earlier, Sasky. Leadership, there's different ways to lead or whatnot. And I just saw a clip with Greg Olsen. Matter of fact, this morning, I was watching it before I got in. And Greg Olsen was talking about, you know, it's so easy on these kids today, this generation. At some point, you're going to have to meet hard. Dude. You're going to have to face hard. You're going to have to face adversity. You're going to have to get through it. We're too soft on these and these kids and these players. And there's a time and place for it.
Because if you coach them too hard or you don't play them or they're not playing the position that they desire, they hit the transfer portal, quote unquote, and go to a different program, go to a different school. Yeah, I know it is. There's no adversity facing. And the part that frustrates me, and you're bringing it up right now, but like Pete Rose, bad human being away from the game, but he had a great point. There's three ways to coach someone. Leave them completely alone.
Yep.
Kick them in the pants. Put your arm around them. And it depends on who the individual is and who you are as a person to figure out how to tap into that kid.
I remember, I'll tell you a story. I remember Parcells was just famous for being able to just tweak different players. So, you know, he's got the Giants. They just won a Super Bowl. It's 86. Pepper Johnson, you know, inside linebacker, LT, Carl Banks, whole group.
Such a loaded team.
Pepper Johnson was like basically taking over for Harry Carson as the inside linebacker, right? And he was really morphing into a great player. So he's like in his second or third year. So Pepper is like privately whining to players about Parcells never gives him any pub, never says anything good about him, nothing, right? So it gets back to Parcells that Pepper's upset, that it's all LT, it's all Carl, you know, it's all this stuff, right? So, Parcells walks into a special teams meeting, and Pepper is the wingman on the extra point field goal team. And Parcells rarely came into the special teams meeting, right? He's got other things to do. So he comes into this meeting, and he goes, "Hey, I just want everybody to watch number, even when calling by his name. Just watch, I want everybody to watch number 52 over here. Just on the stance. Let's just watch the stance of 52. Like he's in a good, look at the knee bend. Look at the angle of his back right here. And now watch how he steps inside and he steps back. So he just blows up Pepper on the extra point.
That is hilarious.
And walks out. And Pepper's like this guy. Like he's just cringing. He wants Parcells so bad to like, you know, get into his corner. And he's down. He's just cringing going, why do I say these things?
I miss Parcells, man. He had that famous clip where LT said, "Hey, we're playing the Rams." And I think it was either Rams or Saints. He's talking about a right tackle. He's like, "This guy, you never penetrate against this guy. I'm going to trade for somebody else. Send him here. Now I'll trade back for you," or something like that to motivate LT. And he has like this monster night on Monday Night Football. Parcells was ahead of his time. Can he coach in today's game?
It'd be hard. He coached the coaches harder than he coached the players.
The coaches had
to take it.
Yeah.
Like when he was in Dallas, like every team's got three fields, indoor facility, the whole thing. When he was at Dallas, like the whole team practiced on one field that day, and he would stand in the middle so he could see all the coaches. The thing wasn't spread out all over the place. He wanted to see, you know, what all his assistant coaches were doing at the time. But, oh my gosh, that guy, the stories are so good. To this day, I remember, you could call Bill Parcells right now, and I go, I had this guy, I was an outside linebacker for him, blanket
for the Giants?
Yeah, for the Giants, number 10. I'll get to it. It's okay.
Spadoni's going to look for it.
Yeah. No, but everywhere he goes, They're still talking about him. Like in Dallas with the Jets. Like he left an imprint in the building everywhere he went that had, like they're still talking about the story.
All right, so let me ask you this one. With the modern coaches, you are starting a franchise from scratch, and an owner comes to you and says, Brian Baldinger, you're my new GM. Who are you hiring as your head coach?
Mm. Wow. I'd probably say McVay.
Really?
Probably take Sean McVay. Because he coaches, like, there's a reason why literally everybody that's getting hired right now is from his tree. Is from his, not necessarily Kyle's, although, you know, Sala and, you know, D'Amico, there's, but like his ability to coach the coaches on what he wants, offense and defense, Brandon Staley, whatever. Raheem Morris, like all these guys.
Yeah. Zach Robinson's like, down there.
He recognizes leadership, but that guy's command of everything. Is I have never seen anything like it. Like it's really good.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
that is incredible.
Who would you take?
McVay's a good one. I have to go Andy. Yeah. I'm sorry, I have to go Andy.
Yeah, I don't want to overlook Andy.
Look, like Andy Reid. I'm just as we study the Chiefs this week, and we've seen Andy Reid at two Super Bowls. We see him come to Levi's Stadium. We know the bite. Hell, I remember they came to Monday Night Football. Shasky, you're probably at this game at Candlestick Park. Niners are wearing throwback jerseys, Jeff Garcia, T.O. And they were starting either A.J. Feely or Ty Denver or something. McNabb was out. And it was like, oh, this is a gimme game.
Yeah.
Eagles are beat up. And they went in and rolled the 49ers. Just rolled them. Yeah. I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is going on here? And it's Andy Reid because of the way he has evolved with the game. There's a lot of knocks on Belichick saying he didn't evolve with the times.
Yeah.
Well, Andy Reid goes from traditional West Coast, no shotgun, that we're running motions all over the place. We look like the spread formation Oregon Ducks with Marcus Mariota. He's evolved with the times, and the players still love him. Coaches still love him.
Respect
and his offenses
like
are
crazy.
Respect is crazy. And then you look at the record, how could you not go Andy Reid?
Let me throw a couple other those great, obviously great names. Like, he doesn't have a Super Bowl. I'm really impressed with LaFleur. And I was very doubtful a couple years ago, but what he's done with different weapons and different quarterbacks.
Malik Willis this year.
And then hiring the Boston College guy has changed their defense.
Like they lead the league in takeaways, right? And he wanted more takeaways. So he goes, so Xavier McKinney leads the league in interceptions. He wanted a safety that could rob the middle of the field and take the ball away. He wanted to press corners, you know, so, you know, like you look at Jair out there right now and Stokes, like they're pressing. They wanted a four-man rush. He wanted more takeaways. And he went and got Heffley, and look what he's doing.
And then let me throw another name. Like, Jim Harbaugh, like everywhere he goes, the guy just turns things around.
Like Denver had won three in a row, and they wiped Denver up last week.
Oh, dude!
And they took this Scott Matlock. You know, he was a defense lineman. Like now, he's like their Patrick Ricard. He's 315 pounds. Like, and it's what it's doing. Like I was talking to Daniel Jeremiah this week about it. But like, it's what. What Harbaugh and what the Harbaughs are doing with Ricard and Matlock, it's going to force every single scout in America to start looking at backup defensive linemen to see if they could play that role.
Well, he did that with Bruce Miller when he was here. He turned a defensive end, Bruce Miller, at UCF.
Yeah, University of Central Florida.
He knew a fullback.
Yeah.
And he was he had some issues off the field.
Yeah.
But until that, he was a very good, productive player for them. Yeah. And I think they had Isaac Sopawaga in the back.
Tukuafu or something like that.
Who was it? Will Tukuafu, I'm going to say.
Tukuafu was the name.
It's a sickness, Baldy. We got a sickness
here.
But even John Harbaugh. Like, we don't even say anything about John Harbaugh.
He hires great coordinators.
And he puts his players in positions.
Right now, Lamar is playing better than he's ever played.
I agree.
Last week's game, he might have missed a throw. He never missed one read. His reads were, I don't know how Lamar's doing it, because he did the same thing week before against Cincinnati. And then he's not a guy that really celebrates, unless it's like Mark Andrews caught a touchdown pass for the first time. And that was his guy for a long time, and he had the injury. And now, like, he celebrated with Mark, but he literally walks, he never looks at any video. He doesn't really talk. He just goes over there and sits in his own, Lamar. It's kind of, it's bizarre, but that guy is so locked in, like, he's going to win another MVP.
Wow. I think the Ravens are the team to beat right now. I mean, Kansas City's undefeated.
Defensively, they're not very good.
Yeah,
so they got to catch up.
Kyle Hamilton might be. I saw him at Notre Dame. I told B about it.
He was good.
Kyle Hamilton is a superstar.
No,
I didn't know it would be this in the NFL.
We saw him at Levi Stadium.
He's ridiculous.
I mean, we saw him at Levi Stadium. It was a nightmare.
He's 23.
He's everywhere. And I mean, even like in the AFC Championship game where Kelce catches that touchdown pass, like the throw and the catch are so perfect.
Yep.
But Kyle can't cover it any better. And I don't know how the ball fell into Kelsey's hands.
We got time to squeeze in one call here. Injury report. All right. Oreo Cookie and Verducci, we'll get you top of the hour. Verducci, Oreo Cookie, we'll get you top of the hour. Anybody else? 888-957-9570. We're having some fun as we bring down Chiefs and Niners. We're just talking ball. We're just having fun.
I want to get into Shanahan and Andy Reid and Belichick's coaching trees and Walsh and stuff and just kind of examine what makes good coaches and what doesn't.
Yeah, the coaching trees are very impressive. Andy Reid's impressive. They're all impressive. We'll get into that as well here. But first, we have the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
So this is tough here. Kawhi Leonard, who was one of the better two-way players in the game, just signed a massive extension with the L.A. Clippers. What was it, 3 years, $153 million? He's been ruled out indefinitely to start this season as he continues to rehab from lingering knee issues that prevented him from playing for Team USA in Paris. He got sent home in Las Vegas, and so Kawhi and the Clippers, as they open up a new stadium, the Intuit Dome, Kawhi's going to be out for a while. That's a big blow for the L.A. Clippers, who also lost Paul George in the offseason. The injury report brought to you by our great friends at Boxer and Gerson, with Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Shout out to Hillary, who's expecting any minute now. She's probably not too happy after the Raiders traded Davante Adams, and they're a mess right now. There's no doubt about that. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your phone calls will get to Belichick, Reed, Walsh, coaching tree, Chiefs, Niners, all that stuff. Plus, we got Jack's Breakfast coming in 20 minutes here. We're about to chow down in about half an hour here on the Morning Roast.